Lead and Be Legendary presents A Name Tag is Necessary.
All right, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of A Name Tag is Necessary. I'm Name Tag Alexander. We have approached episode 51, which is pretty wild because I started doing these in 2020 after making a switch from label podcast or LABL podcast, however y'all viewed that. And then next, you know, I just made the switch and it was like, here we are, like I say, episode 51. So plan to keep the train going for the most part. Got a very special guest. Oh, before we get into that, make sure y'all hit that link in the description, the website, to the merch, to the music, so on and so forth. But absolute special guest on here, one of Detroit's hometown legends as far as an MC, just wisdom, just people that we look to, personality, just the whole nine. I've talked about it before that I've been saying she should have did a podcast of her own, just before we even get into all the highlights and everything. Let's give it up for Book Brown. But what's going on?
What up, dude? One legend to another, I suppose. Is that right? We can say that.
You know what? I receive that because I used to always be like super, super humble about it, but I'm kind of transitioning over into this, I guess, new year, as people say. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I take that.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It always feels weird, though. I'm like, I'm thinking about legends. I'm thinking about, you know, Corona and Invincible and Smiley and
Word.
You know, Jerry Erdos.
Definitely,
you
know, legend. For sure.
I'm thinking about those folks, and I'm not thinking about throwing my stuff.
I think we need to own that more. I say that more so. You had a vid up where you was like showing like it was like trophies, certificates, and awards, not just as you as your government name. This was you. Book Brown.
Yeah.
And I was looking like, oh shit. And then we're gonna get into that, but like I look and always track back as far as like where you were down south. You know what I mean? And like just finding out the people, I'm like, who, in matter of fact, it might have been around a Brown Study Project. And I'm like, who is Book Brown? Like, that's a dope title. That's a good, I just kept, the name was ringing bells, you know what I'm saying? So like even then people's like, nah, like she's one of them. So like, okay. I did my research a little bit more. I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah, but we're going to get into that. So what I normally do, start with it, I call it the icebreaker for the most part. I think it's a cool question because I always say that music is one of the many connective tissues that, you know, people can relate on. You got people that perform overseas, and sometimes people don't even know the language that the music is being performed in, right. But that vibe, you know, right. What I'm saying, that feel. So I want for you to name me three of your favorite songs all time that just make you feel great about life every time you hear them, and why for those picks.
Ew. Curtis Mayfield, The Makings of You.
Oh,
because it's just such a sincere and tender and beautifully crafted song that
absolutely
kind of, you know, kind of untouchable. And I always, it either makes me cry or it makes me very, very, but cry not with tears of sadness, more like tears of gratitude and joy.
Yeah.
War, Don't Let No One Get You Down, which is kind of self-explanatory. I think, honestly, if anybody goes back and listens to that song, for me, it's like one of the most ultimate and honest dedications of loyalty and trust and love that I've ever heard, with a groovy ass beat. You know, it's a wedding song for me. I feel like that should be my first dance, should ever I, you know, decide to,
yeah,
you know, not be the ice queen anymore.
Not the ice queen.
Yes, the ice queen. And Share My World by Mary J. Blige. Because it's a bop.
Man,
honorable mention, I Can Love You.
Oh, that's funny. Like, I was rocking to that last night. Just, I was thinking about Lil Kim's verse, and I was like, pretty interesting that this verse is about her relationship with Big. Right. Like, I never really sat and thought about that. Like, yeah, that's kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm a truck. Did I just hit the bonus like no.
Did he write that?
In Love With You. What?
Cause that album dropped around, was it 97? I could be wrong. He had already passed by the time the album dropped.
Really?
Yeah, so and I imagine I would have to look, but I feel like that might have dropped like late, possibly 97. It could have been. I know what was he? I don't want to.
Album.
I'll go and go on another deep end with where I was living. I'm trying to figure out where was I staying, but
Yeah.
as I always like align music like where I was and school and everything. But yeah, I feel like that was after he passed. People listen, I'm pretty sure they'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I imagine like they recorded that song like prior to him passing or something, because I feel like he it's this sound like that was his pen or he assisted. It's that whole vibe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it sounds like him, but there's no one like Kimmy. Like she, I don't know, whoever could have wrote it for her. I mean, 'cause whoever could have wrote it for her, she's a performer. And so it was like the ultimate masculine feminine with two women executing the song. It
Right.
was like, yeah, I fuck with that. I like
That
it.
song is just amazing though, man. I was literally listening to it yesterday. I'm like, yo, this song is like super fire, man. Like super fire. That whole album, actually. That
Man,
entire album.
look, Share My World will be on repeat for forever and a day. With that song, that Share My World, boy, when that shit came out, it had me in a chokehold, and I just recently got back to it. And I guess honorable mention would have to be Angel in Disguise by Brandy. Brandy. So good.
Man.
So great. I mean, untouchable with the vocals. Untouchable.
Man.
But yeah, I know you said three, but it's just almost
Nah,
impossible to go three.
that's
You know what
cool.
I
Like,
mean?
I wasn't expecting the Share My World parts. I was like, oh wait. And then when you threw the I Can Love You Now, I'm like, damn, I was
Oh, yeah.
literally just listening to that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not I think I was like, what was I watching? I might have been watching like a Wayne's Brothers rerun or something. And I was getting ready for bed, I had the earbuds, and I was listening to that like it randomly just came on my playlist. I'm like, this song's so dope, man. And
So
just
dope.
I started dissecting Kim's verse, like, yo, I never really thought about it. This is literally about Big, but yeah, dope
Absolutely.
selection. Dope selection.
Thanks.
We were speaking about Lil' Kim, and we looked at like how the industry was when artists of her caliber were around. And now, fast forward to now of today, what are your feelings on the current landscape? Weird, I would say mainstream. We understand what underground does. That's always going to be here. It's always going to have its impact. But as far as mainstream rap, what are your feelings on where it's at now, and as far as like how it's affecting people, and what would you like to see change within the mainstream form of rap?
Honestly, I just want more variety. Everybody can have and do and say whatever they need to speak your truth. Everybody talk about speaking their truth, but then when the motherfuckers start to speak their truth, then now they got, extra scrutiny or extra judgment about it. And while I'm in a situation where I feel like a lot of this stuff shouldn't be on the radio, shouldn't be, you know what I mean? It's just too overly overtly and overly sexualized that and violent that I don't think that that's a healthy thing with music being such a powerful vibration and a powerful
Frequencies
form.
and all that. Yeah.
It's just a lot to manage, especially for a child. And so I feel like if adults want that content, then they should have it. However, I feel like we were saved by those parental advisory stickers and the censorship and
Let me ask you this. So, mid-90s, amidst when Death Row just got a chokehold on the game, amongst them, other West Coast acts, East Coast, can we say today that C. Dolores Tucker was right?
Absolutely. But
Yeah.
we knew she was right when she was saying what she was saying. We knew
Because,
she was
like, the
right.
way everybody reacted, it was like, I get what she's saying. Maybe, I don't know if it was the delivery, but I'm like, in a sense, I'm like, damn.
It was definitely the delivery because, she had that, strong auntie grandma steep, and she was not about to go for none of that wackness, right? And she was very upset about it because she could see the potential risk in it. And I know hindsight is 2020, and so right now I feel like we are in a space where we can rectify and we should, because there is just a little too much. It's just a little too loose. We just need to tighten up. You know what I mean? Get some variety in there because we were still, we still had, you know, other artists that weren't all talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
That was happening. We still had, you know, Tribe. We still had
Condition.
We still had, you know, there was a variety of music on the radio. There wasn't just one type of thing over and over and over and over and over.
We were
able to make a decision. And the worst thing you can do is not give somebody an option, not give somebody the tools to be able to choose or do the job necessary. So I feel like there's just, it's too varied. We have too much variety for it to be so concentrated.
That's the crazy part. It's like, it's way more options now, but it's like, there's people who know, like, okay, well, I can go find the music that I like, or I understand there's a variety, so I'm gonna go look here. I'm not gonna really pay attention to what's at the forefront. But then you got a bucket of people as well who don't think that way. They just know, like, oh, well, what's hot is what I'm hearing on the radio, so there's that. Or what I see on the Apple Music, new music released, I guess this is it. You know what I mean? So it's like, we got to take that into consideration. I always ask that question because everybody might see it differently.
Yeah.
Some people may see that there's a variety, and that's that. Like, well, it's a variety. You know, we good. We got choices, but.
But we're talking about mainstream, right?
So yeah, like, exactly.
If we think about it, then it's just, I mean, rock radio still has variety.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz still has
variety. Even jazz, yeah.
You know, not so much R&B and hip hop. Those are the only two that are kind of stagnant.
Ironic, right?
Not ironic. Definitely purposeful. Definitely. You know, but also.
I'm saying it sarcastically, like, I find that kind of ironic, right?
So I don't know. Give us more. There's more. So let's just explore more, you know?
Yeah. You made a statement. I forget specifically when, me once again just logging on Facebook through the mobile version, and I came across, it was a post that you made, and you said, I'm due for something about shrooms. You said, I'm due for a trip.
I am.
Me, I recently started messing with like the edibles.
Oh yeah?
But
how you like them?
Now I learned, I said, okay, I don't like how with the dispensaries now, they do this thing where it's like, it's just a mix of both. It's a hybrid form where it's like indica and sativa.
Yeah.
It's like, no, what if I just want one?
Oh, you don't
and you
have
ask
to get...
them that. I don't like that.
Well, they shouldn't just have hybrids. I love, me personally, I'm a hybrid fan because I don't want too much, and then I don't want too much on that end either.
I just that hybrid, I'm right. I need.
Right down the middle, right down the middle,
and
please.
And I went with trying like the minimum. I'm like, all right, let me just start with like 10 milligrams, right? Decent. Nah, I took it. I said, I'm going to take it before I go to bed when everybody sleep. I'd be cool. I was stuck on the couch.
Nah.
Stuck.
Yeah.
Just kept thinking like, I'm going to get up. Nope. No, not at all. So
I got
the shroom breakdown. What is that? Like...
Well, we're talking about psilocybin now, and we're getting into the psychedelics of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I usually microdose because as a person who experiences depression and anxiety in a very real way, I wasn't too keen on wanting to be on pharmaceutical drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So as I found microdosing with psilocybin, I found that it helped me to regulate my moods, helped me to regulate and stay present, right? Stay in the moment, stay in the today of it all, as opposed to freaking out about what I did last week or freaking out about what's to come, even though I don't know if it's, you know, nobody knows if tomorrow is theirs. So
I ain't got no control over it.
Yeah, you know, it's really no need to freak out about no shit like that. But I was definitely into it. So I was doing that, but this trip that I'm talking about right now is I need an intense trip, need an intensive trip.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of microdosing, I want to take a full dose.
Oh, full on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I want to be where I'm, you know, I mean, it's a little late in the season. I usually like to do it in the summer or spring when it's warm enough outside to be outside in nature and just be in nature with it.
Okay.
You know?
I've heard that. People say, like, when you go on a trip that intense, you want to be, like, within it. But why is that, though?
I don't know why for other people, but for me, it just feels safer.
Okay.
It feels like a direct grounding and connection.
I was just gonna say, like, grounding.
Yeah.
Planting those feet to the ground, to the earth. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, wherever you at, you gonna get whatever trip you've been ruminating on, or whatever you've been going back and forth with yourself on. That's what's gonna be exacerbated. So just be aware that you want to be in a good, clear mental space while you're doing it, and know that whatever is under the surface is gonna come to the surface.
So anything that's, like, let's say whatever you're suppressing or something like that, it becomes more like boom, like in your face, pretty much.
For me, I don't know how everybody is different. Everybody is different in experiencing that, you know, that medicine. So,
Hey, listen, I said I did 10 milligrams just of THC, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, matter of fact, it was still warm outside. So I remember, like, I'm in the kitchen and it was still like, I hadn't had the light on. So, like I said, everybody's asleep. So it just seems more intense because there's nobody, but like, hey, somebody, you know. So I remember seeing a centipede, and the centipede might have been about this small, but in my mind, it was the size of a snake. I freaked out. I looked, I said, yo, and I looked at it again. Oh, this is a centipede or whatever. I was like, man, nah, not like this.
Yeah, not like
this. So I tried it a couple more times. It was a little bit better. It was a little bit more chill. Like, I got to sit down. I was actually writing. I was just zoned in. I was locked in. So I knew how to control it. I was like, okay, I know how to use this for what it was. It helped with pain and everything as I was working out and just that soreness and stuff. But I transitioned on to, I moved on to just, like, trying the regular CBD gummies.
Oh, yeah. I was going to recommend that.
Now, the problem was, I bought some, bought the pack, and the guy was like, yo, these are, like, 500 milligrams. Like, give them here. Like, buy them. Ate a whole one. Oh, that was stupid. That was so stupid. Smacked worse than what I was off the THC gummy. I was done. I remember a game being on.
We gotta get dosages right with you, man. That's
so good.
Like, you need help with your dosaging.
I came back to the guy, so I figured out, like, after that first time, I was like, okay, I gotta chop these up.
Okay.
Flat out.
Yeah.
I chopped them all, like, small. The guy was like, yeah. When I went back and bought them again, the guy was like, yeah. You gotta break those up, because that 500, like, one, it's over. I was glued to the floor, just watching TV, just glued, like.
Because it makes you melt. That CBD makes you melt. I have these gummies that are CBD, THC, and melatonin. Because there was a moment there where I wasn't really sleeping, and I was ragged and raggedy, and so I was like, yo, I gotta fucking find something, because this will not do. And
slept like a baby, though.
Every time I do it, I sleep like a baby, and then. I don't wake up groggy. I don't wake up.
Right. Yep.
Oh, let me see.
Hop right up.
Yeah.
I'm right up out the bed.
They are Motor City Cannabites.
Okay.
Really good.
Yeah. Good. Right out the bed. Good. And I just knew. I said, by doing that, I'm like, the CBD, like, it helped. Like I said, I would work out. And I just got, that was the only thing that was going to keep me consistent. Because, you know, the first few days or so, now you're sore. You're like, oh, man, I don't want to do this. That soreness. No, I got to get through this somehow. So it helped with that. But then that first night, I was glued, but did sleep like a baby and hop right out of bed the next day. So that's the cool part about it. Yeah, man. That's, I wanted to ask you about that when I saw that demo. She said a trip. I'm like, shrooms. I see people talk about shrooms a lot. It's something that I'm not going to lie, I'm afraid to jump into as of yet, but microdosing is something I hear people talk about all the time. Because I almost want to face that challenge of what I would deal with.
If you need someone to be there and hold your hand there, I can help with that, because it's really not that. I used to go to work and I would have to have a couple microdoses, because, you know, people are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And I worked in hospitality and customer service, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
you're dealing with a lot of extra energy, the energy of your coworkers, the energy of the clients, energy, just so much. And it's like, if you're not steadfast and ready, then it could definitely be overwhelming and you could end up in a whole huge anxiety attack. So,
man, in that customer service realm, working in customer service is something so different, because you're dealing with whatever somebody else went through that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to catch it. They're going to dump it on you. Whether intentional or unintentional, yeah, I definitely understand that. That makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to consider it. Yeah. I got homies that do it, so yeah, it's something I'm going to definitely consider.
Without
we talked about this earlier, as far as, because when you were living out of town, this was Atlanta, right?
Okay.
How long were you out there?
I was in Georgia for 10 years.
Oh, okay. All right. So, experiencing that scene out there with music, because I'd imagine like you kind of grew your music career more out there.
Oh yeah.
Opposed to being here. Okay.
Definitely.
Because I don't want to say comparing, but between that scene out there and then obviously the scene in Detroit, what are a couple takeaways that you came back from, you know, Georgia with? Music wise, like as far as that scene or just life in general, like what did you leave with?
That the necessity for community, it goes beyond what you're doing on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
I rolled with a crew that there were videographers and graphic designers and producers and engineers and DJs and singers and MCs, and everybody knew that it didn't matter whether or not Elsie got on first or Bull got on first. What matters is that we all gonna be on. If she get on, we all on.
Man.
You know what I mean? And that was just the nature of it. It wasn't like, you know, it was a competition. I also came to see that, you know, the cliquishness that we experience is everywhere across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you have your community, stay loyal, stay dedicated to your community and your tribe, but know that there's still gonna be gatekeepers. There's gatekeepers everywhere.
Everywhere.
And then also, I don't like it. I don't like the cold. That's what I really came to know about. I don't like the cold. And to be outside in February in a light jacket is my dream for every day of the year for me. Like,
because what's cool there at night? Because I heard at night it can be a little cool, but not like freezing.
You can get to 40, 30, low, like early 30s, mid 40s. You know what I'm saying? It can get chilly, but it'll still be 60 the next day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, it'll still be 50 the next day. Only problem is that when it snows, the whole city shuts down, and that right there is inconvenient.
To this day, still.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah, it's inconvenient. But, I mean, if you think about it, they don't have the infrastructure or need for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you buy a bunch of salt trucks to go around a whole, you know, Atlanta metro and then Atlanta proper?
Right.
Well, there's no need for that. Just, you know, sit down. Go somewhere and sit down. You know?
Yeah.
Don't buy up
on the school today.
Yeah, don't buy up on the bread and milk. That's all. But then also, it let me know that slowing down and looking people in the eye and being kind is a real way to live. It felt better for me. I was able to get in touch with my sweetness in order to like really find out and reveal who I am as a woman. And so that was cool. That was really cool.
Kindness is slept on.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's taken for granted here where we're at, I guess, because how you just said it's a little bit slower paced there, where here it's like, it's so fast paced. Everything is not like New York fast paced, but it's still. But
I think it's mostly because it's cold. You know what I mean? It's so much colder, and it's almost always cold. You know what? We got like four months out of the year where it's not fucking freezing.
If that.
If that. So it's like, you know, everybody's bundled up. Everybody's ready to go.
Yeah.
Move, move, move. You know what I mean? So you're not sitting out on the corner. Hey, now, how you doing? You're not in the grocery store like, oh, okay, now, you know, tell your mom and them I said what, you know, unless you know that person like that. But even still, those interactions are largely everybody trying to get where they're going. And I felt like in the warmer places, there's a little more casualness to it. There's a little more drawl to it. It's a little slower. It's just a little easier, you know. So that was nice.
I like that, man. That's, I almost feel like I've been living in the wrong place my whole life. Made me wonder.
Maybe.
Man, because like how you say, you got in touch with who you were. It just made me wonder, like, damn, like how people be like, this is just who I am. This is how I've been. It's like, are you supposed to be that way? Or maybe you were supposed to live somewhere else or be somewhere else to discover that who you are here is not who you really are meant to be.
Right. And yes, and because I still had that same, you know, Detroit way of being when I was there too, sometimes to my detriment and sometimes to my total and utter benefit, you know, so like, it just depends, you know, but I mean, I was able to explore and it gave me a piece of myself that I had either lost or forgotten or didn't necessarily know that I had. So I, you know, forever I love Atlanta.
Dope. Forever. That's what made me ask, like, outside of just because I didn't want to just center it in on music, like, yo, when you was out there on the music scene, like, what did you? So I like how you mix both in, because I wanted to know, like, too, that's why I asked that way, like, okay, what else did you, you know, carry with you from there when you left? So that's dope, man. That's super dope.
Yeah.
And when you was talking about community earlier, this would bring me up to my last question before we wrap it up. You mentioned community. So what are two things that you aren't doing as of yet that you would like to do to be of service to other people? Because we all, that's what, you know, that's, I feel like that's why we're here, to use what we got to be of service to others.
Well, I just enrolled in esthetician school, and I feel like I see far too many artists take pictures or have video shoots and things like that, and the women don't have their makeup tight, they don't have their, you know, they don't have all of this together, and I know sometimes I've been a victim of that as well, and so I would like to be of service in the idea of, you know, let's get your skin right, let's find out about the nutrition, let's find out about your skincare, let's find out about how to present, put your best face forward, you know, make sure that you're presenting in a way that, you know, presenting in the rooms that you want to be in as opposed to the rooms that you're in, you know? So I want to help in that way. And then also, I'm working on this project where there is a safe space for artists who are here and fairly transient and here who are traveling to and fro, like Detroit-based artists that travel a bunch. You know, sometimes we need a crash pad. Sometimes we don't need a house. Sometimes we just need a crash pad. So my goal is to buy a home large enough to serve as a bed and breakfast and have a studio and have a, you know, a photography studio as well as a music studio. We need space and collective space so that we can all do what we need to do together, as opposed to, you know, gatekeep the podcast space, or, you know, and some people don't have the bread to just rent that kind of thing. Some people can only do it on a barter system. And so we have to figure out how we can be of service to each other without making it strictly monetary, right? The currency is the relationship. It's not the money that's involved in it. Necessarily, it's the relationship, because if you and I have a good enough relationship, we can make money long time. But if we, you know, bump heads and we not on the same page anymore, then we not making. I'm not ever talking to you again. I'm not ever, like, not in that respect. I'm not ever gonna be like, oh yeah, name tag. I'm not gonna refer you nowhere. I'm not gonna, you know, I wouldn't imagine you would refer me anywhere if you had a poor experience with me. But I feel like in spaces like those, we can actually understand what the meaning of currency is, the value of one another.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do. Hope to foster that kind of understanding and relationship, but also create a space that it's that it can be present.
Okay, dope. So you found a need, like it was over. It wasn't just a, I got this T-shirt business I'm gonna do, and that was just going to do. Which is nothing wrong with that, but it's like,
you know,
yeah. Because I know I you know come up with some merch in a heartbeat, but yeah. It's just like I always in my mind nowadays more and more I be thinking like, man, what's something that's a need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So hearing you say that, I would have never thought of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? You talking about helping people image. I was like, oh, damn, I ain't never. You know, most people just pull out the phone, flick a pic, do a selfie, and it's like, man, I'm cute.
But
you're like, it's more to that.
What's the sense of having filters all the time? There's going to be a time where you would have all the filters. And then I know it's some brothers that don't want to have filters either. Brothers need facials too. You know what I mean? Get those blackheads off from around here. You know what I'm saying? Get your beard together. You know, make sure you got your... Get your scalp massage. Make sure make sure the brothers is tight too. I mean, it's not just for the ladies. It's for all of us, you know?
I'm going to grow me a beard this year too. That's in the game. It's tough. All it's difficult.
You're lucky that.
I don't know what it is. Everybody I know is just growing with no problem. Like, that's a struggle for me.
You said that thing don't connect, huh?
That one, they get a little patch on the side. They be like, no, just wait it out. Like, nah, man, it look crazy. You got the Anthony Hamilton joint out here.
Anthony Hamilton. Man. Oh, my God. Anthony Mackie does that shit, too. What the fuck is it up with the Anthonys? Why do they?
I was going to ask you why Anthony Mackie. I'm going to leave it alone.
I can't stand Anthony Mackie, dog.
I left it alone. Gotcha. I was going to put it in the notes. I was like, I'm going to leave it alone.
It's irrational as hell too, because like ain't no reason why I shouldn't like this man, but something about him
was it so 8 Mile. I feel like 8 Mile must have been it. You was like, man,
8 Mile,
this
was
nigga
like,
here.
I knew he was supposed to be a lame in 8 Mile, so I was like, all right, cool. I mean, like, he wasn't supposed to be a lame, but he was a lame, and so it was like, okay, well, I get that, but I don't know. It's just something about it. It's like you try too hard. It's not, I don't know. It's something about
even
it.
In the Marvel movies, I'm like, and I be feeling bad. I'm like, man, he the new Captain America. I'm like, man, I don't care, man. I'm just not that excited about it.
I don't believe in Captain America at all.
No, never. I was mad at the end game. I'm like, why you give it to him? Like, what you give him the shield for? Like, nah, dog.
Nah. D-Rock
so
was
funny.
Like, yo, I'm about to go get with my girl.
Somebody gave it to the first person that came to mind.
First person. Yeah, he loyal. Here you go, bro.
Yeah, Bucky ain't do the work all the way. So he like, no, I can't trust you. You can become a rogue agent again. I'm cool.
I mean, and then Bucky was, you know, he had his own mission. You know what I'm saying? He the Winter Soldier, dog. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
You like, yeah, man, I don't really mess with the Stars and Stripes.
Man, that's so funny. I promise you I was going to put that in there. So about Anthony Mack, I said, you know what we need? We need the behind-the-scenes footage, because he's the only person that was in 8 Mile who didn't rap ever. Like, not just in the battle where he was supposed to choke or whatever. I got that part. But even throughout the movie, like in the scenes they had him in where everybody else would rap, and it was like, he never rapped. So it just was like, yeah.
And it's like,
I always thought that was wild.
I don't know. I don't know.
Man, that was the funniest thing ever. You posted that online. I'm like, what is her issue with Anthony Mackie?
Yeah, he's standing. He's so whack to me, dog. I love him. He's probably a beautiful person, a beautiful human, but I
you can tell people don't like when somebody forces it, when they try too hard. Like, yeah, they're trying to be cool, man. I don't like that.
It's like it don't ease out like, you know, an Idris Elba or some shit like that. Or like Aldis Hodges. Or
I know you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like what's his name? His name Trevante or some shit like that.
He did a movie, matter of fact. We tried to win. I tried to kind of give him another chance, like outside of the Marvel films and everything when I seen him in No, that's what it was for me. I think it might have not been 8 Mile for you. It probably was the Biggie movie. Yeah, motherfuckers, I'm Tupac. Like,
you not. No, it was She Hate Me. That's what.
See, I never seen that.
It's a good.
I never saw that one.
It's a good movie, but God, he just irked my soul, and it's just never been the same since. And I was just like, man, how is this motherfucker still getting cast?
Yeah, it was something he did with Damson Idris a couple years ago. It was like Behind the Wire or something like that. I forget what it was called. And Anthony Mackie was like this android or like this robot or something.
Oh, and, is that Altered
Carbon?
It was
a pretty decent movie.
Because he was in Altered Carbon on Netflix. And I was super sad that they changed the original actor from it. And
he was in that. You're right. But he did another one later, and it was Damson Idris. This was like Damson Idris fresh off like Snowfall season 3 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he was one of those guys that controlled the drones and stuff for the military or whatever. And Anthony Mackie was also a military person, but he was an android. Hmm. So it was like this super powered android or whatever. But it's like, even in that, it was like, it's not sweet, man.
It must be like a sadomasochist kind of thing with him too. Like, I just love to hate him or something like that. Cause I know I pretty much know his catalog, but I know them, so I know what to avoid. Like, usually I'm like,
it was something. Oh, that's what it was. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I said, yo, you watching that? And this is when I found out you was serious about it. He was like, nah, man, that nigga's whack, man. It was like, he was serious as a heart. He's whack, man. I ain't watching nothing.
I can't, man. I really try. And I try is the thing. Like, every time he does something, I'm like, okay, this is the one.
Give him
this
a chance.
This the one. He gone. He about to get it. Right?
And then that is hilarious.
Always disappointed because he's always like
super extra.
Extra, I get it. And trying so hard. It's so.
He was in Twisted Metal, and people shared the same sentiments as you. They were like, I just don't like Twisted Metal. They had a Twisted Metal series. What? Yeah, like the video game, which I don't know if that was on Netflix. I forget, but yeah, he was in that. And people was like, yeah, man, it's just saying he ain't it, man.
It's like, that curl that won't quite curl. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, man. He just had a lot. He had the whole thing with Black Mirror. People was like, you can't do this at the Marvel, man. Not like this.
Right. Not like this.
Yeah, they didn't like that.
I don't know. It's like how I felt with Jada Pinkett in The Matrix when she was in the fight scenes. It was like,
oh, yeah.
Her driving that spaceship or the Nebuchadnezzar, I could see that. That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't the Nebuchadnezzar. That had already blown up by then. But whatever ship she was driving when she brought him home, in the third one,
They brought her back. Remember in the one that came out with a couple of days? I was like, come on, what y'all doing, man?
It was,
like,
it was good, but that final one where she was the old lady,
that's the one I'm talking about. Yeah, they brought her back. I was like, what y'all doing, man? This ain't it. Yeah, I didn't care for that. I was like, what y'all doing, man? That's funny. I thought that was kind of wild. Music wise, so I know we got a joint together. I'm going to throw him under the bus. It's not on me. This is Nameless. He had been telling me for the longest, yo, the song was mixed. I can't wait till people hear it, man. It's so dope. Uh-huh. He's like, yo, I got new equipment that I'm getting. Just give me time. Got a new crib. He said he going to get the stuff, like a final mix and master on it. Mind you, these are songs, that song and other songs, it's sitting on well over like 3 years. Probably longer than that.
Oh, no, I got mad songs in my computer. I mean, shout out to everybody that's still rocking me waiting on them songs. I appreciate it.
Man, I be feeling like I owe the explanation. If I get a feature, I'll be like, because I'd be wondering, I'm going to leak it. But out of respect, like, to the names, I'm like, no, I understand what he's talking about, so I'm going to just wait.
Yeah.
But when it hit.
Well, I mean, shoot, I've been waiting to hear some mixes from Slot for the project, the Super Useful Tools joint with me, Spawn, and, I still haven't heard anything, not any mixes, but I don't know. I'm kind of detached from music right now as far as making music is concerned. I can definitely like hop on a feature and, have a lot of fun. But as far as what I want to say for where I want my brand and my music to go, I'm not very committed or connected to it at this point.
I respect that though, because I'd be wishing like I could detach from it sometimes, but it's like in my mind it's like I done wired myself so much to be like, go, 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 mo, music, music. Mm-hmm. And it's just be like, even if it may not come out when I'm intending for it to be, but I just be like, when I see that, like I like that the artists like you or Elzai could just kinda, yeah, I drop when I feel like it. And then when y'all do, it's like, yo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'll be like, man, I'll be taking notes, like, all right.
But you know all about having your super fans and all that stuff. I got, you know,
yeah,
I got about 50 folks that if I drop something right now that they'll, you know, buy it for the price. You know? They'll buy all the merch, all the CDs, all the vinyl, all of it. So like really, I'm not too concerned with trying to get other people to listen and like my stuff.
Yeah.
So right now I'm just trying to listen to it and like it.
Agree. Like I, at that point, like this, I hate those videos. This is how you can gain new fans. Well, man, shut up, man. Like, just get the people that rock with your music and cater to them and keep them moving. Like, trying to force everybody to like your music today. Like, nah, man.
But I mean, you only really, only genuine way. I mean, I feel like only way that I've ever become a fan of an artist is to go to their show. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like to see the live performance is different. See that live performance, that is what was a game changer. And since the last maybe two or three shows I've had, I wasn't my best. I feel like it's time for me to take a moment and step back.
Rebuild, regroup, I will say. Yeah.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because I don't want to like, I don't want to like shoot myself in the foot or nothing, you know?
That's why I say, in a way, I envy it, because I'm a little, I just be sitting like, nah, I can come back way harder this time. Yeah. Just like,
yeah.
My whole thing now is just like making the best song, mm-hmm. as opposed to just like barring niggas up. You know, yes. what I'm saying? I was just always like, it was one night randomly. Like, when was the last time you ever just sat back and just like took in your catalog, like listen to it?
The other
like song for song. The other day?
Uh huh. Cause that was
mine was last month.
Yeah. What'd you feel?
Yeah. I was on the CBD. Go ahead. And I was sitting back. I was in a group chat like, yo, why y'all ain't tell me this? They're like, nigga, we been told you that shit was fire. Well, I was listening. Like, I was going through the Apple Music on the list. I'm like, just thinking like real, just confident. Like, yeah, I'm the nigga. Like,
right.
Because
right.
I'm going from old to new. Like, oh, I see where the difference happened, and the difference for me happened probably around like 2014, and it just because I had been putting out joints since like 2007, but like somewhere at like that 7 year mark, it just like,
phew. Yeah.
I was like, man,
life experience.
If they did us, I'd be on that like put me up against whoever, like from the city. From within the city, because you know, you gotta mention, I wouldn't like, put me in New York, whatever. But that I'm saying, like, if it came down to like, let's say if there were like Detroit versus whatever, that it's over. Like, that's how I felt about it. I was like, man, and it's like I knew it was there, but I just never really sat back because you just be in go mode so much, you ain't really sat back and just absorbed it. And it was just, it felt great. Maybe it was the gummy, I don't know. I just sat back.
I mean, I have those moments where I just sit back and I listen to my catalog. Like, sometimes I really hate to hear myself. Some of the stuff is very cringy. Some of the stuff is just, you know, forced and, you know, not
that growth.
Good as I thought that it was. And then sometimes the engineer mix it and your voice is too fast. And like, no matter what you said in the note taking process, it's like, yo, fam, can you just, you know, slide me back, like, or slide me up, like, half a second.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yeah, yeah, I got you. And then you hear it, and it's like, yeah, thought you was going to do that. You know what I mean?
Speaking of which, the song that I was talking about earlier for y'all listening was Detroit Players. Yeah. Real verse on there, I was like, all right. Competition part, I was like, oh, the competitive party, I was like, she tried to get me.
I did.
But then on the other side, I was like... This still a good song though, man. Because uh-huh. I was like, yo,
iron sharp and iron. But yeah,
that's what was needed though, and that's why I'm never the one that's gonna send just the beat and wait and hear your verse. I'm like, no, let me see what I got. Whatever she come back with, I said I ain't changing nothing. I was like,
Good.
She smoked this.
No, you smoked so it much too. So. You smoked it too. And thank that was you. The reason why I smoked it. It was like, oh, we're okay. This how we, this what we about to do.
Thank you.
Okay, then this what we about but to do then.
What was so dope about yours, it was a lesson in the verse. I'm just throwing Black sports Black. References. Mm-hmm. And then I'm listening to yours. I'm like, Black Bottom, Detroit Black Bottom. Call me up. I'm like, oh shit, like this is a lesson in between here. I'm like, yo, this I say, yo, that's crazy, man. I lied. Well, damn, why I ain't do that?
Glad
throwing my little sports references in there.
Oh no, but it was like, you know, how would I know anything about that? I mean, not that how would I know anything about that. I mean, I got it, but it was just more like, damn, I'm just not into sports in that way. But there were so many things that I was able to like look up yeah. and talk about, like now that I'm talking to the people about Detroit's history and,
yeah.
and they're talking about not just music, they're talking about sports, they're talking about, you know, all this shit. And I'm like, well, I do know this, or this. And
yeah.
you know Wayne Funds and, you know.
Like, it was so fire because it was like, it was stuff I'm like, I know this, but the way it was, I'm like, yo, it just sounds sweet, like hearing it rapped. Like, yo, this is dope.
Awesome.
This is right. dope.
I can't wait to hear it when it's mixed and mastered.
I want to do something like, I want to pick beats for people. Like, I'd be sitting back like,
you want an A&R?
I really want to, like, you just pick people beats. Like, yo, I got these beats. I get beats all the time. They just, in their mind, yo, I gave you this. Yo, I know you want to rhyme. You want to rhyme on this. I know you're a kid. I'm like, I don't want to, but I think so-and-so probably right. would. Like, I could hear. So I really want to do that. Like, I just want to sit back and just pick out the beats for, like, people's projects, whether it's an EP, single. I'd really want to do that.
So you want
to like, for whoever.
You want an A&R project? I might let you do that.
Even if it's just like an EP, like all right, boom, got it. For all I gotta do is send the word out, yo. I'm whatever it is, we send the beats. Let me say the name. Oh, Boog Brown. Oh, what were beats all the way through?
Because I want to do some licensing stuff, and you know, you and I have talked about this a while.
Yes.
I just, you know, after a minute, I was like, I just didn't want to write anymore. I just didn't want to.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hold nobody up no more with as far as beats are concerned. Largely, the people that rock with me, they got it in the cash for me. But if they don't, I'm not trying to hold nobody up. I don't want to rap right now.
I feel that. Licensing. You see, y'all, I didn't bring it up. Normally, every pod, I mention licensing, somebody else mentioned. But yes, like.
Yeah.
Once y'all say that, I'm like, word.
I want to do licensing. Like, let me get a solid campaign or a solid commercial or placement or something like that. I'll do that if the opportunity should arise or present itself for that. Then I'll do that.
Yeah.
But outside of that,
you had a placement, right?
With the four motor.
It was a Double Dutch.
Yeah,
it was a Double Dutch joint.
That yes, Nolan,
yep.
formerly Nolan the Ninja. But that Nolan track, shout out to Sydney James for putting that together.
Yeah, that was a car commercial. I'm perfect. Trying to get something like that. So you did something I hadn't done yet. So that's, you know what I'm saying?
But see, the nuances of it is it was only on the internet. It wasn't like...
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It wasn't national in a way that you see it on the television and, you know, they repeat it and repeat and repeat it. But...
Okay, I got some stuff I'll send your way.
Okay,
I got some stuff I'll send your way, like just as far as like some PDF of just like topics and stuff that when it comes to the single license space and just the terms and everything, because to me it's like the single license space is so not different from the music industry, but for me I consider the single license space more so as the TV and film industry anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we're not gonna just sit and watch a movie or a TV show and not hear music and be like
right.
It's gonna be boring, you know. The music, you know, it gives it that punch. So
it's the connective tissue. Yeah, for sure.
Yep, exactly. To bring it back around. Mm-hmm. So to close it, let people know where they can find you at social media, any website, merch they can grab from you.
Oh, I am sold out of all my merch. Thank God. There is a box that's floating around somewhere that I have yet to unpack. But as it stands, I'm sold out pretty much of everything. When I find that box, I'll let y'all know. But you can find me at the number one Boog Brown, Boog Brown, like the color, on Instagram, and that's really the only thing I want to share with y'all. I haven't been on Twitter, or it's X now, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's a wild place.
Yeah, I ain't been on that in a minute, and I'm so glad. And Facebook, you can find me at Book Brown 1 for my fan page. Yeah. Holla at your girl.
There's that, y'all.
Google it.
Yeah, that's a fact. Look out here, man. Look out the stats for sure. Yeah. Hey, but y'all know the link to the website, anametagisnecessary.com. Leading Be Legendary, of course, is the brand. I hate the word brand, but it is. It's the brand.
Yeah.
And until next time, y'all, it's been real. Peace.